You know, Moran started coming here years ago, back when we were here the first time before we left to go to Savannah and then came back. So he's been here a number of years now. He has a wonderful ministry. Not only that, he's a wonderful guy and he has a wonderful family. And let me just tell you, remember when I said at the beginning of the service about how there was some spiritual warfare going on? I have personally experienced it in my family and with me the last 24 hours. And it was so funny because Moran and I are texting back and forth and he's in Jerusalem. Hey, I've got plane problems. Please pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. And then he got to London. Oh my gosh, there's technical problems now and there's a flight delay. Please pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. And then he gets to Miami. Okay, we're a little late, but I'm in Miami. I finally got to Miami. Please pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. And it was just like back and forth. And we were just praying, Lord, just get him here. Get him here because he's got a word for us. And he's here. He's got a word for us. I want you to give a warm round of applause for Moran Rosenblit. Let's welcome him here today.
Shabbat shalom. It's a blessing to be here with you. And, you know, Rabbi, I want to thank you for inheriting Rabbi Allen's problem by bringing me back. I feel weird because he's not here, but I feel him sitting over here watching me. So if he is watching the live stream, I just want you to know that. You know, it's like, you know, you feel that. It's truly a blessing to be here. For now, we can leave the live stream. I'll let you know when to cut it off, okay? But I want to start by connecting something for us that is not on my notes, okay? So bear with me. My next speaking is tomorrow morning, so I have plenty of time, and I am on jet lag, so, you know, whatever I mumble. But I actually prayed, and I really believe that there is a word. But my brother Bob was talking about the altar. And it's very interesting that in our parasha, you find that Abraham went down to Egypt. And when he went down to Egypt, after all this great account, this great victory, he's going down to Egypt, and he has a greater fear of man than of God. And there he compromised. He's going with his wife, but he said, hey, no, I don't want them to hurt me. His selfishness is coming out. So let me tell them that you are my sister. All right, sis? Horrible, kind of selling his wife in order to protect himself. By the way, with that in mind, as you read the rest of scriptures, always think about Lot. Lot is with them. He sees very bad example, very bad influence. Right there. But we know what took place with Abraham. And that the truth came out. And now he's coming back to the land. And the first place he goes to is the place of the altar. The place where it's not just the worship, but it's a reminder of the great promise, of the great encounter that he had with God. And we thought with that we have a better understanding now why he came to Lot and says, hey, pick whatever you want. I know my God, I know the promises, and I'm very secure. So you can do whatever you want. I know who is on my side, and I know that when he promised me the land, he's going to give me the land. Pretty interesting kind of the connection to the altar over here. So whoever here who has a challenge right now in your life, whatever it is, kind of interesting with the offering, what were you saying? It belongs to God anyway. It belongs to God. So we just need to go back to the moment of altar, the moment that we have encountered God And he removes the veil from our eyes, and we need to trust him in whatever we do, not worrying about anyone else. Just real quick, I don't want to go too far away, but there is a book table if you want to get some of the stuff from over there. There is our book, The Foundation of the Faith, that I co-wrote with a dear brother, kind of another introduction and going deep into what it means for us as Jewish people to be followers of Yeshua as the Messiah. We have our 16-month calendar. For those of you who are more excited, who came here today just for the calendar, there is. And our latest newsletter, this is the first time I see that, okay? Off the press, printed, and was delivered yesterday. Some of you were asking me and always asking me about my family. So family, kids are growing up. It's some of you may not recognize them if you know them, but my wife, Melissa, is doing very well. She is getting her master's right now. Our son, Oria, is 14, Eden is 12, and Noya, our little jokester, is 10. But please pray for my wife. As you can see, beautiful picture of beautiful kids. Would you agree with me? But this beauty can become monstrous. Okay, so my wife has to deal with serious challenges. I also want to invite you to come and join us to Israel. We have two tours that our ministry is doing, and you can find the details here. We have 2 weeks in the land, covering the entire land, with the exception of Eilat, and it's 2 weeks going really in depth into the Word of God, seeing the land and meeting the people of the land. That is in March. You can still sign up. And next September, we are doing 5 days in Israel and 5 days in Greece, following the footsteps of Yeshua as the Messiah, bringing the word now, going into the apostle, to Rav Shaul, Apostle Paul, and to the nations. And then we go to Greece, and we do 5 days in Greece. So I just want to invite you to come and join us on that. If you can pause the live stream for 1 minute, we will get back to it in a second. Okay, just for this next picture, please. I just don't want the faces to... We're good? Yes? So, I'm very excited about what God is doing with the ministry and with Hope for Israel, and specifically is with our threefold vision, investing in the future generation of Israel. For years I've been coming here, I've been sharing with you about our threefold vision. We have our wonderful youth group in Jerusalem, about 50 to 60 kids from many Messianic congregations that we teach them what it means to be a believer. Then stage two is when they go to the army, we're giving them an entire support for them to stay strong in the faith as they are going through the struggle of the army. But for years, I came and I shared with you about our scholarship program. And from a vision, it became a reality. And this year, we have 25 students that we're giving scholarships. I'm super excited about this program because our goal is that in the next 5 years, we're going to have 50 young Israeli believers who are going to be young businessmen and women. They are going to be changing the entire view of who we are as believers in the lands. They are going to earn income, support the local congregations, and my dream is that Israel will not be a needy place, the believers, but that we will send blessing outside of the land. Our goal is in the next 10 years to have 100 Israeli businessmen and women. And let me tell you, they are fireballs for the kingdom of God. So I'm very, very, very excited about this program. We can bring back the live stream. Another project that we have is our campaign in fighting the BDS. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanction. And some of you may want to know what BDS is. The next video you can actually see on live stream. You can also find it on our social media. And you can partake in our efforts in fighting the lies, the movement against Israel, just by sharing these videos that we are producing every month. You can continue with the... Shalom, it's Moran Rosenblit, and today I'm in London to catch up with the latest BDS bullying. This time, Puma is at the center of the latest controversy. Why? Just for sponsoring the Israeli Football Association. Are you confused? So am I. If you've never heard about the BDS campaign, let me give you a short explanation. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction. They claim to be a global movement that promotes freedom, justice, and equality.
Boycott Puma, boycott Warframe.
Sounds pretty fair, except that it's not. The truth is, it's a movement that aims to arm Israel and only Israel.
We're here to end the Israeli apartheid of Palestine. Yes.
They're spreading lies on our campuses worldwide.
BDS is a very measured, responsible, and reasonable reaction.
Spewing false accusations in the media.
And these are people that are demonstrating quite peacefully.
And misleading us all in the streets.
I was in the metro, I was in like one of the subways, and I've had AK-47s in my face as well.
If BDS really wanted justice, why wouldn't they target the worst human rights violators out there? I don't see any call to action against North Korea on the BDS website, Syria, Sudan, or Yemen, only Israel. Which is puzzling since Israel is one of the most progressive countries in the world today. And by far in the Middle East, where Arab citizens enjoy more freedom than those living in other Arab nations. So is it about land? There are presently 120 countries involved in territorial disputes, many of which have produced much more bloody suffering than the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Yet BDS singles out Israel and only Israel with a brutal campaign putting an end to the Jewish state. Okay, so perhaps it's about humanity, if only it were. But the sad truth is that BDS doesn't care about promoting human rights. What they do care about is harming Israel, starving the Jewish state economically, and isolating it socially. A movement based on hatred, lies, and ignorance is dangerous and destructive. And you know what? The real danger is to you and your family. This movement is misleading young people around the world who genuinely do care about human rights. Your loved ones are being fooled by hatred and lies. Did you know?
BDS want to appear woke but actually slept through history class.
So you can partake in our efforts to fight the BDS simply by sharing these videos. These videos are for you, and they are online on a YouTube channel, social media, and you can just sign up to receive our weekly updates, and you will receive these videos when they come out. Please help us fight BDS. We have the new BDS. Someone wrote a comment that I love. B stands for Buy, Develop, and Support Israeli Products. Let's cut off the live stream, please. So all the products, all the byproducts of today's book table will actually go to help us to give fleece jackets to our soldiers who are, it's getting cold in Israel. It's not Florida. We actually have cold temperatures. And we would appreciate if you will help us to give and provide those fleece jackets for our soldiers. But when we started this entire vision to fight the BDS, and really the idea was to show the truth about Israel, we had no idea what God will do through that seed of hope that we had in this project. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12, and Rabbi just read to us the first verse, it says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I know and I'm aware, and those of you who know me, you know that sometimes I'm allergic to certain things. I'm very much allergic for people taking this scripture and using it for fundraising for Israel. We don't do what we do because we're going to be blessed. We do what we do because we were already blessed. And this scripture says that through Israel, all the nations will be blessed. And here we find ourselves today as a ministry partaking in God's plan to bless the nations. And that's why I'm so excited about this project. Next year will mark a very, very special year for Hope for Israel. It's going to be 20 years. You know, Rabbi, you said when you introduced me, you said that it was before you left. And I'm sitting here and I'm like thinking about the fact that it was before you left. It was when you and I had much more of black hair, less gray. I cover today with a yarmulke, my natural yarmulke, you know, and it just was like just a reality. But it's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since I started Hope for Israel. But naturally, it made me think a lot about the ministry, about all the changes, all the growth, some of them that I've shared with you that we have experienced over the years. But even more than that, about God's amazing love and grace that He counted me to be part of His amazing plan to reveal His love to the people on this earth. Let's pray. Father, I just ask You that You will speak to us, that You will open our hearts this morning. Not to receive my word, but to receive Your word. I ask You that You will glorify Yourself. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Last year when I was here, I was teaching about part of what you're going to hear about today. And the reality is that we are in a ministry of reminder. I believe that the yearly cycle of reading the parasha is because God knows that we will forget. So every year, we go back to the beginning because we need to remind ourselves. Even some of the elements that we are wearing as Jewish people is just to remind us of Him. Even the appointed times is to remind us of Him. So I just want to remind all of us of some of the things that I shared last year as we will go through the message. But as I was reflecting upon the great privilege to be part of His plan, to reveal His love to the people, a question came to my heart. And it's a question that I want each one of us here in this room today, in this wonderful congregation, those who are here in the live stream, to write and to ask ourselves, is there anything that I do, anything that I say, anything that I think that prevents the Father from revealing His love to those who are out there? Is there anything that I do, say, or think that prevents the Father from revealing His love to those who are out there? And my dear brothers and sisters, I believe it's a question that we need to ask ourselves daily. Because the reality and the sad reality that the vast majority of people in the world today don't want to believe in God and don't accept Yeshua as their Messiah, not because of who He is, but because what we made Him to be. And the poor reflection that we give to the Father's love to those who are on this earth. The Father's love is an amazing love that we find from the time of the creation of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, we see a perfect creation. Six times it says, and God saw that it was good. And on the seventh time it says, and God saw all that he created or did, if you want to take it more in a literal way from the Hebrew. And it was really good. In Genesis 1, we also find the difference between the creation of the world and the creation of man. God created the world through his word. God spoke, he said, and it happened. Wow, pretty amazing. Isn't it? Just that knowledge. God spoke and it happened. What is it that you're going through in your life right now? And I know the Lord is speaking to someone that looks greater than God speaking, and it will happen. We had an amazing storm coming here, right? This morning, those of us who drove earlier before the blue sky appeared, the brave souls. I could hardly see 1 foot in front of me, but then the God that brought that rain spoke, and bam, it's gone. And although the description of the creation of man, God also spoke and it happened, in Genesis 2, verse 7, we find a more precise description of the creation of man. Then Adonai God formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, so that he became a living being. Imagine that. That the world, God spoke and it happened. Now, try to imagine the most beautiful scenery you have ever seen in God's creation. Somewhere that you've been and you were just like, just took your breath away. Like the sunsets in Florida. Every time I come, it's pretty amazing. Especially in your area. But when I look at it, I always think about the fact that in God's eyes, all this majesty, all this beauty, all of it is nothing compared to us as a peak of his creation. The world is spoke to existence, but with us, he did something very personal. He actually breathed life for us. He created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. On the sixth day, he created the peak of his creation, you and I, right? And then he gave us another sign of his amazing love for us, which is the Sabbath. I love teaching it today. You know, God was so tired after the creation of man that he needed to have a break from everything, right? No. He actually took a break from his creation because from the time of creation of man, he created us for relationship. And he gave us a day that he can spend time with us. And he gave us a day that he wants us to spend time with him. Pretty amazing, significant reality that God has given us. From the time of creation. But from the time of creation, we also see that we as men, we make bad choices. But from the time of the creation, we also see that the Father has provided a way for us to return to him. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read about two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning the tree of death. Adonai God planted the garden towards the east in Eden. Can you say Eden? Eden? Can you say Eden? Eden. Eden. Not Eden. Not Adin. Eden. Can you try to say it without the accent? All y'all have horrible accent. Israel, right? New York? I can also do that. And as you know, the reason why I teach you Hebrew is that I want God to be able to understand you, because in heaven we're all going to speak Hebrew. And there he puts a person whom he had formed. Out of the ground, Adonai, God, caused to grow every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food. Everything was good, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jumping to verses 15 and 17, Adonai God took the person and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and care for it. Adonai God gave the person this order: you may eat freely from every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat from it, because the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die. Pretty amazing that God did not create you and I to be robots. He created us for relationship, not to be robots. For relationship, again, he gave us the freedom of choice. And the same freedom that of choice of old is the same freedom of choice that you and I have today. Freedom to do everything but that which contradicts the Lord's desire for our life. Because that's called sin. And the penalty of sin from the beginning is death. We all know the famous story from Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal which Adonai God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you are not to eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman answered to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you are neither to eat nor touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "It is true that you will surely die, because God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasing appearance, and that the tree was desirable for making one wise, she took some from its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves lion cloth. Then they heard the voice of Adonai God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And by the way, there is just a side comment which is pretty profound and amazing, that in Aramaic translation of that specific verse, it says that they heard the sound of the word of God walking in the garden. And that's why John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was present from the beginning. And again, tying it into what my brother Bob was saying, I personally believe that the encounter was with the Word of God, who was there from the beginning. So they heard the sound of the Word of God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai God among the trees of the garden. Adonai God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard the voice in the garden. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I ordered you not to eat?" The man replied, "The woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Adonai God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me and so I ate." And there are very interesting points here from this amazing story. The first one is just as a reminder that temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. They had the freedom to do whatever they want, but one tree that was there. There was a temptation, but the temptation itself did not become sin until she actually did something with that, and she took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and ate from it. And then it became sin. So again, for us, we have freedom to do whatever God wants us to do. Our freedom is found in Yeshua, is not to do whatever we want, but whatever He wants us to do. But if you're like me, it's this one thing that I know that I'm not supposed to, that attracts me the most, right? So what are we doing with that? Are we turning our backs? Are we turning our minds? Are we getting our eyes off it? Are we shutting down the computers? Are we deciding not to go through that ice cream place, that cake place, and all those things that we know that maybe the Lord does not want us to do? Temptation for itself is not sin. The second point is that the first religion is found here. God said one thing. One thing. He said what? Don't what? Don't eat, right? What did Eve said? Don't eat and don't touch, right? The first religion. My dear brothers and sisters, walking with the Lord should not be such an heavy burden. We are filling it up with religious rituals that are pressing us down. And we forget that Yeshua broke the yoke of religion. He said, take my yoke. Come with freedom because we have relationship and we do what we do because we love Him. It shouldn't be hard. So stop putting on yourself religious acts. I'm not talking against religion. I'm not talking against putting a yarmulke or the prayer shell. But I will say that if it's bringing yoke into your life and you do all what you do because you are pressing yourself down, then there is a problem. As believers, we don't do what we do because of what we get, but rather because of what we got. That's the difference between us and all religions in the world. They're trying to get closer to God. We are already close with God. Because we accept the sacrifice that He gave you and I. The third thing is that God knows everything. We can't run away. We can't hide. Whatever sin in your life that is going on right now, that you are the only one that knows that, bring it out. Stop making a show. Take off the makeup, so to speak. Understand that God says, the Word says, that everything that is done in the darkness will come to light. So it's better for us to bring it to the light before, because there is freedom when we don't have anything to hide. Man's nature is not to take responsibility rather than to blame others, even God at times. The woman that thou hast given me. Note, he wasn't blaming Eve, he was blaming God for giving him the woman. And so are we. We blame God for everything. If only the temptation wasn't there, everything would be perfect, right? Take responsibility. Start to be leaders. Admit your failures. And remember that He covered with His blood all of our failures. Something I said about the yarmulke now, it's driving me nuts. Yeah, there's nothing to catch, I know. Thank you for reminding me how old I am. And the fifth and the most important is man's solution for sin versus God's. What did man did? Try to cover their shame with their own power. My brothers and sisters, I can guarantee that some of us here in this room right now, or some that are watching, are trying to cover our sins with our own power. How many of us, when we fall, we make a decision, I'm coming back full power. And then we pray more, and we read the Bible more, and we come to the congregation more, and we serve more, and it's all trying to cover our sins with our own power. Yeah. Rather than understanding that God provided a way, and we need to go to Him. In Genesis 3:21, it says, Adonai God made a garment of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. I'm amazed at the fact that from the time of creation, the Father already indicated to us a way for us to return to Him. The first sacrifice as an atonement of sin is found in the beginning. And know that the first sacrifice was provided by God. Just as a reminder, Adonai God made the garment of skin and He clothed them. First sacrifice was provided by God, which point out to even a greater sacrifice that God will provide, the Father will provide in the future. We read Genesis 12. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is referring to that when he was saying in Galatians. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say now the promises were made to Avram and to his seed. It doesn't say, and to the seeds, as if to many. On the contrary, it speaks of one and to your seed. And this one is the Messiah. Through God's promise to Abraham, we can clearly see how He points out to the Messiah. Through His promise, we can also find an evidence of God's endless love for us in that He provided a way for us today to return through the seed of blessing that He promised for us. I'm amazed at the fact that as an Israeli follower of the Messiah, I can travel all over the world and teach. But my dear brothers and sisters, John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only unique Son, so that everyone who trusted in Him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but rather that through Him we might be saved. Pretty amazing. Take a moment to reflect upon the fact that you and I are part of God's amazing love and amazing plan to reveal His love to the people in this world. Let's do a small exercise to wake you up, okay? I feel that you are going through the jet lag, not me. Look at your neighbor for a moment, okay? And say this to them. You are a reflection of God's amazing love to this world. My dear brothers and sisters, with this amazing privilege comes an immense amount of responsibility. Just as a reminder of my earlier question, am I preventing God from showing His love, from revealing His love to this world through my actions? Just as a reminder, if there is, we need to let it go. Just as a reminder that the minute we said yes to the Messiah, we said no to ourselves. For the Messiah's love holds us, as all of us, because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind, which implies that all mankind were already dead. And he died on behalf of all in order that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. When we said yes to him, we said no to ourselves. Yeshua was sent by the Father in order to reconcile us to the Father. Let me just say it again. Yeshua was sent by the Father in order to reconcile us to the Father. Where is the Father today? Our Rabbi? Have you noticed what happened in the body of believers? How we kicked him out? All the worship today is about the Son. Where is the Father? We so focus on the Holy Spirit. Where is the Father? The Father sends the Son in order to reconcile us to himself. The Son came here on this earth to do the Father's will. He entrusted the Holy Spirit for us to teach us in how to walk according to the Father's will. So why did we kick the Father away? No wonder why there is no fear and reverence today amongst believers. Is there anything, my dear brothers and sisters, in your life right now that may prevent the Father from revealing his love to the people on this earth? Is there? And if there is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to try to continue to put it under the carpet? Or are we going to start to become God-fearing believers versus man-fearing believers? Because the reality is that as believers, we fear men more than we fear God. Why? Because if I come right now to Rabbi and I tell him everything that is going on through my mind, I can guarantee he will not let me get on stage again. If we are honest. If we're honest. Why? Because he may judge me and may look down at me. Because I'm human just like anyone else. Only that I am willing to admit it. So in order for me to show God that I fear him more than I fear Rabbi, I need to come to Rabbi and take the word of God seriously, and whatever it is, bring it and confess before God and before men, and be prayed for and be healed and delivered. You know, one of the main areas of preventing the Father from revealing his love is the area of unforgiveness. I choose not to forgive them. And there is no way, just like Jonah, right? There is no way, God, that you will show your love to these sinners. We forget that we were sinners. So we choose not to forgive, right? And we are the only victims, because when we prevent God, the Father, from revealing his love for those that we don't forgive, we also prevent him from revealing his love for us in the area of our forgiveness. And we can go on and on. So my dear brothers and sisters, I did not come today to talk about Hope for Israel as a ministry. I did not come today to be an entertainment center. I came here today because I believe that the Father wants to reveal his love for each one of us. What are you going to do with that? I exhort you, before you leave this wonderful synagogue today, grab someone and say, this is what's going on in my life. Please pray for me. If you're trying to cover your shame with your own power and you have never accepted the atonement that the Father provided for you, that is pointed out from the time of the creation of the world. I exhort you, come today and grab someone and say, I am done trying to do it with my own power. I want to accept the atonement, the messenger that the Father revealed, and accept Yeshua into your life. Your life will not be perfect, but they're going to be full of hope. And there won't be any shame that you need to have and carry with your own power anymore, because He took upon Himself all of the shame of our lives. That is the hope that we have. And that is the hope that we want to bring to our people back home, back in Israel. May God bless all of you.
Wow. I mean, that was about 10 different sermons in there that I just want to hit on all this. But there's two things I think that struck me, and we're going to be closing up our service. But one of the things is, in the body of Messiah, too often we have people that are just there, and they talk about the Lord and everything, but they're so puffed up, and it's always the focus on them and their ministry. And ministries are great, don't get me wrong. But what we need to do, and Moran talked about it, is surrendering to God. We tried to do it our own way. We wanted to be like God. But you know what? There's only one God. And as we surrender, He works through us. So Moran is a surrendered servant of the Lord. And he is doing a great work. He's doing things in Israel, in other countries now. You saw the videos and the different things going on. We may say to ourselves, well, what can we do? We're just sitting here in Melbourne, Florida. We're not doing all these wonderful things that Moran is doing. Well, what we can do is we can serve the Lord here in Melbourne, Florida, where He's called us. And then when people like Moran come, we can bless them in the work that they're doing. We may never go to Uganda. We may never go even to Israel and do these things. But we can support what is going on. The word of God is going forth. People are getting fed physically and spiritually through this ministry. And today we have an opportunity to sow into this ministry so that the word and that work can be done through Moran's ministry. So let's just take a minute. We're gonna take up a love offering for him and for Hope for Israel. And as you really think about, you know, what we can give, just give from your heart. And we're going to have, where's Isabella? Isabella. Can you come on up and just play a little soft thing on the piano there? We're going to just come before the Lord and seek Him and ask, what can we do here in Melbourne, Florida for this ministry that's going forth from Jerusalem, literally to the corners of the world? We saw it today. And so as the ushers come up, we just want to bless Moran, and we want to bless what he is doing. And through that, the whole world will be blessed because God is working. So let's just go to make the check out to Kol Mashiach, and then we'll in turn give to Moran. We'll collect everything and we'll give to Moran for that. So yes, make the checks out to Kol Mashiach. Thank you, Bob. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Lord, you are our Father, and we submit to you today, Lord God, our lives, even our finances, Lord. And I just thank you for getting Moran here, Lord. It was kind of touch and go at times, Lord, with all the flights and all the problems and then the weather. But Lord, you brought him here for such a time as this. You brought him here for a purpose today, and I believe it was to speak your words, to speak your heart, Father. And we just pray that we can do a small part even here in Melbourne by giving to this ministry. So, Lord, as you stir on each of our hearts to give, Lord, let us be cheerful givers for this important work. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would continue to bless Moran and his family and his ministry, that you would take up, as we take up and receive this offering, that you would even multiply it, Lord God, 60, even 100-fold. For your kingdom purposes, we thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.